Christian L. Johnson. Mr. Reeker, good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name is Dan Reeker and I represent Mr. Christopher Johnson in the matters before the court. Mr. Johnson was convicted in May of 2017 of a third-degree assault against his sister after attempting to present evidence regarding self-defense in that case. We appealed that decision up to the District Court of Dodge County. District Court of Dodge County then denied the appeal in part because of the statement of errors that was filed out of time. So this morning, we're going to be discussing how both of the Dodge County Court and the Dodge County District Court erred and resulted in Mr. Johnson continuing to have this conviction. So to start with, we're going to look at what happened out of order in the District Court, because if you examine what the result of the judge's decision in the District Court was, you can then see that the what happened in the County Court is relevant. So Mr. Johnson was convicted and sentenced in August of 2017. The appeal was filed on August 30th, 2017 to the District Court. The Bill of Exceptions was not filed immediately because this is in the record to a certain extent. The fee for the Bill of Exceptions was not paid. Their notice was sent out that the Bill of Exceptions had not been paid for on October 6th and October 17th, somewhere in between those 11 days. Bill of Exceptions was paid for, and then the Statement of Errors was not filed then until November 8th. No notice was provided from the County Court that payment was ever received. I never received notice of it, at least, Your Honors. And there was no notice, because it's not required in the court rules, that a notice be provided to the attorneys that the Bill of Exceptions was ever filed in the District Court.
Well, to simplify this just a little bit, sure, there's no dispute that the Statement of Errors was not filed within the rule-based time.
Correct, Your Honor. No dispute on that.
There was a request made to extend the time.
Yes, correct? Your Honor, when we went in for the hearing.
But that was denied.
Correct.
So the District Court reviewed only for plain error.
Correct, Your Honor.
And one of your arguments, as I understand it, is that that was erroneous to do that. Would you like to explain why?
Sure, Your Honor. At the time when we went in for the hearing for the appeal, the judge at the time said that he did not have discretion to extend the time. I believe he used the word, there's a bright line rule about the Statement of Errors being filed within 10 days of the receipt of the Bill of Exceptions. That was a factual, it was an inaccurate statement of what the law was, because earlier that same year, this court decided the case of Hauser v. American Paving Asphalt, Inc., in which the court discussed the process through which a district court or a different judge could run to determine whether or not they could discretionarily extend the time to accept the brief. That did not happen in this case, and that error is, I believe, at least in part, which led to the district court erroneously upholding the conviction from the county court.
So, do you believe there were circumstances that you advanced to the district court that would have been, under Hauser and other cases along that lines, permissible bases for exercising discretion to extend the time? And if so, what were those?
Sure, Your Honor, I do. I believe that when we talked to the district court about this, we explained to them that the Bill of Exceptions was paid for late, that there was no notice provided that the Bill of Exceptions was ever filed. We filed it as literally as soon as I found out it was there, I went to do it.
We've rejected the no notice argument as...
I understand. Yes, Your Honor.
That part, so...
Sure.
Go on.
I believe that, and the problem is the record is very limited on this, because we knew when we went on the record that the court was going to be denying this. So I think that in addition to the fact that there was no notice for, which I understand this court has rejected, the case was initially appointed. I do appointment work out of Dodge County. My client then, subsequent to that, decided to attempt to retain me for this. And so there were some financial considerations that needed to be taken into consideration. Those things were never allowed to properly go before the district court, because I was never allowed to provide evidence for why it is the time period should have been extended.
Did you make an offer of proof?
At the time, I believe that at the time, Your Honor, I do not believe that we did. I believe that I explained to the court that I do believe that at the time we went in for the hearing, we explained to the court the timing and the finances, but I don't know if I made a formal.
All right. Thank you.
I believe that the error in the court saying that it did not have the discretion to even consider taking it out of time is in and of itself reversible error. It's not harmless error. And the reason why I believe it's reversible error is because the court was then stuck with just the plain error review of looking at the record.
So you want us to remand this back to the court to consider whether or not you can file a statement of errors?
I think that the most, yes, Your Honor. I believe that at the end of the day, because it requires a determination of whether the court accurately or inaccurately exercises discretion. You can't really do that because the court didn't take any of those factors into consideration to start with. That's the problem with the assumption that there's no ability to extend the time. We're not even able to make the argument about how the court made the determination it didn't have its discretion because it just assumed that it did.
I don't know what your opponent will say, but let's assume that he may say something along the lines, it didn't matter that the trial court misunderstood the law on that question because all of the reasons that were advanced, none of them, even though they were advanced only by way of argument, none of them would have been sufficient to justify extending the time. What's your response to that argument, which may or may not be made?
Sure. Even if in this particular case none of those arguments would be accepted by the court, say that the court doesn't accept that there was financial situation, anything like that, the fact of the matter is we can't have that conversation because the framework necessary to get the information to the court to make that determination was never offered in the first place. So because of that, you can't review abuse of discretion, which is what Hauser says the determination on the denial of the extension is, has to be on abuse of discretion. You can't even make that determination if there's not a discussion of the factors that needed to be put in place to determine whether the discretion was accurately or correctly applied. I think that in this particular case, the reason why it's important that the court had that determination to decide whether it could accept out of time, out of those 10 days, the statement of errors, is because of what the statement of errors offer. The state in this brief argues that there was harmless error made in this case because the county court took the appropriate factors into consideration, and in doing so, that on a plain error standard, then the county court was accurate. I think that, Your Honor, had the statement of errors been allowed to be accepted out of time, the statement of errors assert several different errors, but the primary one of which is that the county court erred by failing to admit evidence of past acts regarding Mr. Johnson's self-defense theory. And that was specifically argued in the statement of errors. The reason why that's relevant is because underneath it's just the plain evidence review, the court could only review the evidence that was submitted as part of the record, and that evidence was limited to the circumstances of the particular assault, which my client never said that he did not strike his sister. He's saying that conceptually he had a subjective and objectively reasonable belief to strike her because of past actions that he had in which his sister had previously thrown a blunt object at his head. I think that when the district court erred in allowing that statement of errors to come in to then review the entirety of the record to make a determination whether or not that was indeed subjectively and objectively reasonable, the district court therefore erred doing so because it could take a look at all of that evidence. Your Honors, I am down into the time here. I'd like to save a little bit of time for rebuttal unless there's more questions at this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning again.
Morning again.
Grab some more water.
May it please the court, my name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. Essentially two assigned errors on appeal. One, that the district court erred in refusing to accept the statement of errors out of time. And two, that the district court erred in affirming the county court's judgment because in the defendant's view, at least, the evidence was plainly insufficient to support his conviction. Basically, the state's position is that if the district court erred in refusing to accept the statement of errors out of time, even if that happened, any error was harmless, essentially because the assigned errors within the statement of errors, which included the alleged insufficiency of the evidence, were themselves without merit. And accordingly, we ask this court to affirm the district court's order, which affirmed the county court's judgment. So as I said in my brief, this court's decision in Hauser indicates that, you know, a district court sitting as an appellate court has discretion to basically accept a statement of errors out of time. The district court wrongly thought otherwise, and based on sort of limited research, CJS, et cetera, a lack of knowledge that the court could exercise discretion can itself be an abuse of discretion. But even assuming error on the part of the district court there, I think the relevant assigned errors can be addressed based on the record, and the record shows that they are without merit. That's the insufficiency of the evidence, the evidentiary rulings by the county court, and then the denial of the motion for new trial.
And do we know what the assigned errors are? Is that,
that is clearly in
the record?
It is, I believe. Can
we consider a statement of errors that the district court didn't consider?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but for purposes of harmless error review, I think you can review everything in the record. And if we can say beyond a reasonable doubt that any error was harmless, then there's no reason to reverse, basically, for something that we can do on appeal now.
But what's the state's position about had the district court not been under the misapprehension as to the its authority to extend, to exercise discretion, to extend the time for filing the statement of errors, to the extent that the reasons to do so were advanced in this record, albeit without evidence, could a reasonable district court judge, could the judge have exercised discretion to extend the time?
I think so.
This was a pretty short.
It was. The BOE wasn't much, in my recollection, basically, it was kind of convoluted, what it seemed to be.
20-some days, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, we're not talking, I think it was October 6th was the time that he got the notice of non-payment. October 17th was when the BOE was actually filed. And then November 8th was when the statement of errors was filed. So, yeah, we're talking, you know, 21 days, something like that, 20 days. Certainly, I think a district court, depending on the reasons given, could exercise its discretion and accept something like that out of time. It's not, you know, like when in Hauser, I think, where it's a significantly longer period of time.
So one avenue of affirming on harmless error might have been none of the reasons advanced would have permitted a district court judge to extend the time. The state's not arguing that one. You're arguing that we have to look back to the reasons that would have been advanced in the statement of errors, in other words, the alleged errors, and go back to, had they been advanced, none of them would have had merit based upon what occurred in the county court record.
Yes, I think so. And part of that is because, as opposing counsel was talking about, I think the district court, feeling that it had no discretion, obviously I think limited what argument and record was made. I don't really know what the reasons would have been outside of, like I said in my brief, the notice not being given, but I don't know anything beyond that. That said, I don't think that having the district court review changes our ability to review the merits of the assigned errors within the statement of errors, because it's sitting as an intermediate appellate court. You're not taking more evidence. The evidence is what it is, which is the BOE, the transcript. And we can review that, and we can say that there is no harm coming from any abuse of discretion that may have occurred.
If we do it, doesn't that sort of provide a perverse incentive for district judges to say, I'm not going to extend the time. I don't feel I have the authority to do it. And besides, the Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals will look behind that anyway. Isn't there an incentive that goes perhaps the wrong direction if we do what you suggest?
I don't think so.
Now, why shouldn't we make the district court do its review before we will undertake that?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's still, yes, we can make the district court do the review. But one, doesn't change, I think, this court's ability or obligation to address whether an error is actually harmful or not. And two, I guess, I think Hauser came out just recently before the hearing on in this particular case.
Let's assume it was 3 weeks.
3 weeks. I don't think that there's any presumption, or there shouldn't be any presumption, that the district judge was just derelict in his duty. He probably was not aware of this case. The parties didn't bring it to his attention. And I don't think it is fair to assume that district courts in the future are going to shirk their duties just because. So I guess I don't see that perverse incentive in
that,
this instance.
That sounds to me like an argument that district judges really don't have to promptly read our decision.
No, it's not an argument for that. It's just perhaps he wasn't aware of it. I guess I don't see the perverse incentive here that perhaps Your Honor does. But
I'm just trying to explore.
No, I understand completely. But I think that coming back to our position, it doesn't make sense, I think, in terms of judicial economy for us to reverse when we can say straightforwardly that the underlying appeal, the assigned errors, have no merit based on the record. And that's why we ask this court to affirm the district court's order affirming the county court's judgment.
Do you think that the argument that, or the advancing the statement that the counsel didn't know that the bill of exceptions had been filed, is that sufficient to give a trial court discretion to extend the time? Is that alone sufficient?
I don't want to take a hard answer on that or a hard position on that without, maybe I should have researched more, but it seems like a district court has pretty wide discretion. If it felt, you know, the system had, you know, failed by not sending notice and we're only talking 3 weeks, that seems to be within the court's discretion to extend that. Unless there are further questions, we ask that you affirm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute and 30 seconds. Mr. Rieker.
Your Honors, the arguments argued in both the state's complete brief and in argument today is that if we look past the fact that the judge did not know he had discretion, then let's look back to what the statement of errors were and see if the county court made a mistake. I think that that's not, I don't believe that that's the process that this court adopted in Hauser. I think Hauser predominantly examined what things the court should take into consideration when trying to decide whether or not discretionarily it should allow a bill of exceptions to be extended. There's some pretty significant differences between what happened with counsel in Hauser and what happened in this case, including the time frame, just 22 days instead of 2.5 months in Hauser. In Hauser, there was a full-blown briefing schedule, a brief submitted to the district court, things in which the counsel in that case should have, that the appellant in that case should have taken into consideration to file a statement of errors. It's very different. What happened is when, however,
your opponent urges that judicial efficiency argues in favor of us, in essence, looking to the statement of errors and considering it, even though the district court did not consider the statement of errors. The state argues that we should, and that if we do so, we aren't going to find reversible error. Do you agree with the state about that we should delve into the statement of errors?
Your Honor, I generally agree that this court shouldn't do that because the idea of plain error and what the appellate court looks at regards that they're supposed to just look at what was presented as far as the evidence. As counsel said, the evidence is the evidence. I think that before you ever get to that far, though, Your Honor, the important thing is to realize, because the district court judge abuses discretion by not knowing he had discretion in the first place, before we could ever even get into that conversation, that was precluded because the court didn't accept that. Because the reason why that's reversible, Your Honor, again, is because evidence could have been put on, and it could have been put on in a form of a oral offer of proof. I wouldn't deny that. But evidence could have been put on to the district court judge about the differences between the Hauser decision and this decision, and why in this specific case the court should have accepted it out of time. Then we could have got to those arguments related to the statement of errors, but because the court didn't realize it could do that in the first place because of the recency of the decision or anything like that, That record was never developed, so we're stuck here today looking at a short record because of that error, and I believe it's reversed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day.